Welcome everyone to another episode of Classroom to Staffroom, where we talk all things teaching. I'm joined by my co-host Jodie Epier.
How are we all?
I'm Miles O'Kane, and we look forward to taking you all along for the ride. Welcome back everyone to the start of 2024. We appreciate you all tuning back in, and thank you for your support over the last year. 1 year in, my man, who would have thunk it, hey?
Oh wow.
When we sat here end of 2022 and we said we're going to do a podcast, I know you gave me a look like we're not going to do it, but it's a good year, man. Went fast.
Right,
it went fast.
Exactly. When you said, bro, should we do a podcast? I was like, oh yeah, sweetest. And like in the back of my head, I was like, oh yeah, it'll happen maybe. I don't know when. But bro, when you came back that following year and goes, I've got stuff. I said, what stuff? Oh, the stuff.
That recording stuff.
Bro, it's ready to
that
go.
That filming stuff.
Let's go.
Mate, that's when you know you're dealing with the math teacher and it's just that routine thinking coming through. Yeah. It was good though. It was good. I think it's the 5 weeks. It's the first time in a while to be able to sit home with the family, recharge, which was nice. Mind you, rocking up to school, first day back, it felt like deja vu. I was like, I swear I left here a couple of days ago. I can't believe it's been 5 weeks that have gone past.
Being on that holiday mode, and you go back into school and like having to rejig or re-sync yourself.
Yeah, it is. It's a sinking process, and you got to figure out where your energy is.
Yeah,
and I yes, because exactly,
and because over the holidays you have free reign of your own time.
Yep.
But when you get back into school, you have to do certain things for a certain amount of time, and it's like your energy level.
The checklist is out.
Oh, bro.
The checklist is out. All right, man, so I'm thinking, so I obviously want to hit the ground running.
Yep.
So this episode, you're going to focus on setting yourself up, or you're setting yourself up as a teacher for a successful year in teaching. So I guess before we get into actually the talking points, any goals, or what are your goals, if you have goals for teaching for this year?
I think personally, I think it's always good as a teacher to always have a personal goal to try and improve in any areas that when you reflect backwards, but at the same time, put outside of that, something that you want to do personally within the profession that you're in, i.e. one thing that's been in the back of my mind that I've sort of not put on the back burner but just haven't put it in the front, and that is to look towards completing level 3.
Yes.
Which has always been a goal, but I just haven't really put it at the front and make it a priority.
Yeah.
But I know that if I get that done and really smash it out this year, then everything else will just come off that. But yeah,
heading down that teacher path, the real teacher path, mate.
Yeah,
looking forward to it. That, and we talked about it in a previous episode, but is the time component of that level 3, which is good because it puts the quality into the process. But it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yourself?
My one's not. I feel actually, it's more simple on a simpler scale, man. I think my one's just trying to build in more engaging starters to the lesson. So I've got a couple of lower school classes again this year. Just want to try and vary up the different types of activities for the first 10, 15 minutes of the class. I've got some different ability classes as well, which is nice. So it'll be nice to see if and when on what kind of activities I can use across classes. Not necessarily about the topic we're doing, but obviously math focus.
Yep.
Have you seen those, the Paul Swan books?
Yes.
Haven't used them for years. Used them again the other day. They're incredible. We don't know Paul Swan, never met him personally, but his resources are great.
Yep.
And the kids love it. And the structure in such a good way. And the mother shout out is the Math Association of West Australia, the MAO resources.
Yes.
I bought some stuff in from there over the holidays for the department, and it's good as well. Just trying to incorporate that more. So sort of get the kids to enjoy maths again, but it's not always just heavily content focused. Let's do some problem solving activities. Let's do some reasoning activities. Let's actually, you know, think through and use math in this situation.
And it's so good, like, inadvertently, you can play a certain games. Like I played a couple of games with both my year 7s and my year 11s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the most simplest sort of activity you could do with kids. But then you can notice that whether you're year 7 or year 11, you're lost in the enjoyment of it. But at the same time, it's math focus behind it.
Yep.
That you have to constantly having to look at risk, look at adding, look at whether I take the probability,
yep,
or I get or whatever.
Yep.
But it's so neat. Well, irrespective of year group, it's that those sorts of activities that you can run with those classes, and the kids get lost in the fact that it's just fun, but actually it's actually
and they're learning, educational. Yeah, and I think it builds the momentum for the rest of the lesson as well, which is nice as well. And then my second goal is on a more of a personal level. It's just to manage my energy throughout the term, I guess, or year more consistently. I know probably like most staff members, you come into the, especially start of the year, pretty amped up and energized, I think, having that time off, but just not to go crazy. And it's been better over the years, but just sort of maintain it so I'm still good by last week 8, 9, 10, and not just sort of all flat out in the first 5 weeks that's holding on.
That's an absolutely true statement there, in the sense that we've got to be protective of our energy, in the sense that we don't just overexert it just at work or just in that context, because there is life outside of schools. Mm-hmm. There is life outside of education, and that is coming back to the family, making sure you're just meeting or giving just as much energy into your family life, into your personal lives, as what you do in your schooling life.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
So on that point, so I think our first talking point, I think, so we do a compare and contrast with the both of us. Mm. So an overview of what our first week would look like back. So I'll start this one. So if I go, being in middle management these days, we're back officially a day before staff come back. I try to get in a day before middle management's back, or level three's back.
Mm.
These days, I'm not doing anything during the holidays. If I have to do something, the bare minimum, just to make sure that I'm focused on everything. I think especially having a young family and stuff now, it's just, that's my time for doing family. When I'm back at school, that's my time for work.
Yep.
But it's nice having that day back before everyone, so I can just get a lot of my personal teaching things for the classes set out. So when staff are back on campus, I can work with, if I need to, and work at a department level, knowing that my stuff's all done.
Mm.
So if stuff gets segued anyway, my time gets segued, I can fall back on that.
There's no substitute for being ready or being prepared. The more prepared you are, the better, because it, as you say, it allows, just in case a variable that you didn't plan for comes up, but everything's already pretty mm-hmm. much ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I come back into the first week, I think one of the biggest things for me is to just to establish the things that I know that I do well and reintroduce them into kids that I've not taught, or even if it's a new class. Just establishing that routine, establishing that line in the sand, so kids know what they can and cannot do in my classroom.
Yep.
Even if you just break it down to the very basic, the way you talk in the class, to the way you enter the class if you're late.
Yes.
All these sorts of things for me in the first week, very important to establish those. And I sort of reiterate them. I make that as a major focus, and then I'll question them before they leave about what are the, so I'll give them three exit questions. What did we do about this? What did we do? What's this one? What's that one?
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, they're hearing it more than once, and they're going to hear it for the rest of the week, the rest of next week, just so that there is no confusion. So if we can make it so the kids are clear,
yeah,
everyone else is clear. So one thing that I do a lot of lately is asking kids to put their hand up if they did not understand it.
Oh, nice.
And then that way,
nice,
it's like, well, if you didn't understand it, put your hand up. And it's not to try and make them not put their hand up. It's to see whether they are listening and whether they get it and whether they think. And it's really good. So, but I do reinforce the fact that do not be afraid to ask for clarification.
Yeah, I had a special focus on that. My first lesson, my lower school classes, have the courage or have the guts to make mistakes.
Yeah.
To get that out in the open, and kept not, I don't want to say brainwashing, but kept repeating it at various times throughout the lessons.
Absolutely.
Just because it's part of building up, as we talked about, building up the positive environment of the learning classroom. So once you've got that set up, it sort of builds on from there. So with nearly 40 years of experience between us, have you start to see patterns of certain things in the first week back being a teacher? For example, staff energy level, always incredible. After that long break, that staff room's buzzing, which is a good thing. I always say to myself, remember the happiest people in the room and see where they at come midterm. Hopefully they're doing well still, but it is that. Because you just had that time off, isn't it? And you kind of convince yourself, like, here we go again, this is ready. But then, and you start to see people taper off. Did I ever tell you my graduate story? There's a graduate teacher I used to work with at one of my schools. I was like 3 or 4 years into the career, so thought I knew everything. She comes in, or he possibly came in as, so their first term, start of the year, full of energy, positivity, going to change the world. Gets to the last week of term one. I'm walking back in from my classroom. They're in the office by themselves, just head in hands, like just being bamboozled. And I was like, welcome to teaching.
Yes.
And obviously after that, you know, well, how can I help you and stuff? I was like, that's it. That's what teaching is. Like it's, you've seen Dangerous Minds and I did it. I saw Dangerous Minds. I'm going to change the lives and change the world. And then got in there and went, holy, there is so much to do in teaching.
Yeah.
The rush for classroom supplies. It's interesting how certain teachers are not just saying we're working on now. People who will hoard or head towards certain supplies.
Ooh, yes.
Also, the yard duties. I used to always, because most schools I've worked at, there's always a yard duty roster up that first day.
Yep.
Before students are back. So the 2 days, the staff are back and then students are back. The day after that, there's always they put up the duty roster. I used to never worry about it and always just get like the last one picked. I've always done that. Yeah. This year, I'm like, no, because last year I just got bus duty after school for the first time ever. I'm like, no, this sucks.
No.
So I was driving to school that day and purposely thinking of where I'm going to go. I think I've done it. Nice. Had the day planned out, so doubled up on the day that I got my least teaching load and possibly better classes, good areas. I was like, yeah, no, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that.
Oh, that's a good one because, yeah, I used to be like you too. I didn't care where I went.
Mm.
I didn't care what days they were.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've noticed is, well, me personally, if I can get it done early in the week, like first set on Monday or Tuesday,
yep.
Ideally on Monday, if I can work out the Monday,
yep.
If I can even do a Monday lunch and a Monday recess,
yep.
Even better. And it's funny, as you say, when that duty got told to all the staff, here's the duty roster, put your names on, just the mad stampede.
But it's every school. It's every school. So it leads me to wonder that I think teachers have it predetermined, especially I think it's a vet move as well, like the vet locker room move. Like they know exactly what areas to do and they just get in there, which I agree with. If you've been somewhere for a while, you know the plus, and you've probably done the crapper ones or the not so good duties, so you know what to work with. But it is interesting to see certain patterns happen as things are working by.
And like I hopped in the line, and you can just—it's almost like it's carnal where people just want to get to that piece of paper. And just want the
do or die, mate. Do or die. Could make or break your year. The wrong duty on the wrong day could change your life.
To be honest, I tried to crack the system, and the system is simply this. Have a look at the year plan. So I got that yearly planner, and I had a look at all the days that certain things are happening.
Right. Oh, like the year calendar.
Yeah, bro.
You went, wow, that's, mate, your planning's come a long way. That's impressive.
That plan there has now made me pick the day that I need, and hopefully
I can. It's not even, I just go off my staff time, but you're going off the year calendar. Bro, that's impressive.
And you find those days that,
mate.
You find those days where public holidays fall on those days.
He's even incorporated. You've taken this to a new level. This has impressed me. Last question on duty. What's your go-to colour for the vest? Yellow or orange? You have to choose one. Which one do you do?
I'm doing yellow because that's all I've got.
Yellow as well. But if you had the option of orange?
Oh, I'm happy with yellow.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things like I got a duty today. It was good. I just covered someone else.
And 68 degree heat. So hot.
See, and that's the thing we've got to take into account.
I opened my door in the afternoon, which the aircon had been on all day. I'd been in the aircon all day. I opened my door for 3 minutes and went, I nearly died. I didn't even step outside. Just felt the hot air hit me.
We have to take our wonderful New Year 7s to the canteen 10 minutes before lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, and you have to sit out there in the heat for 10 minutes while these kids are going buying their lunch before the rest of the cohorts come out. It's like, I hope you guys have been very appreciative of us being sitting out
there in the sun. Teach, inspire, change lives. We're doing it for. All right. So talking point two, I think with everything going on at the start of the year, especially early in your career, even later in your career, you can get a little bit overwhelmed with everything going on, especially at the moment with the teaching shortage across Australia. Mm. There's a lot of changes happening almost by the minute.
Yep.
So knowing that, spreading yourself too thin to start with can be a thing.
Yep.
So the most important things I believe to focus on.
When you ever look at the point of what's the most important thing to focus on for you as a...
We'll go a handful, up to five.
Yep. As a new teacher coming in, be careful. There's a word called no that a lot of new teachers need to learn. and it's protecting yourself. It's protecting your energy. It's protecting, because you're so enthusiastic that you want to say yes to everyone and everything that you just, as you say, spread yourself too thin. And at the end of the day, you're burning the candle at both ends, which will eventually catch up on you. So just make sure you're doing your job really well.
Yes.
Even if it's the small things, keeping on top of your behavior management, keeping on top of your routines, keeping on top of consistency of the things that you do. Do them without failure every time. That will then, other staff will notice that, wow, this person does not falter or does not sway in the wind just because it's a stickler to certain things. Stay strong on that. Don't let people abuse your time.
Which is tough as well. I mean, I found it hard coming in as well. And like the thing, I'm quite a, the word escapes me now, but it can be tough, especially if you've got experienced staff just throwing stuff out, but know that even if you do feel like you've been taken advantage of, you don't, it's not just, you're gonna, that's going to happen for the rest of the time. Just learn from it and go, okay, and make a note of if it did happen.
And it's all swingings and roundabouts sort of thing. Like sometimes you help and support someone and they will eventually come back around at some stage. So yes, give and take, but if it's more give, be careful there. That's one of the most important.
What, so it's got a classroom level. What's the three resources you need for students? So me, it's pencils. So having the class set of pencils, something to write, something to write on, so exercise books. And then I think whatever textbook or resource you're using as a skeleton to work with.
Absolute bare essentials is those three things. The ability to write, the ability to write in something, and then having a program that's pretty much there that the kids can, it's like I introduced it to my year sevens today, showed them exactly how I want it set up, exactly how we do it, what we do at the beginning, the start, the middle, the end, ensuring they know where to put all their things away. Once you establish those things, it's the kids will automatically come in and just go straight ahead and do it.
So yeah, okay, so let's even go define it further. So at a classroom level, curriculum, resources, behaviour. So I think curriculum for me, sure, I mean, obviously having all the programs and assessment outlines is a must-have, but even having gone a step further and breaking down into teaching blocks, not going over detailed, but for me, for the four lessons I have, what I need to do, so usually I find it's two lessons per exercise or per concept with my lower school classes, and just have that planned out for the week. So week one, I'm doing exercise 1C, two lessons, and it's how I'm going to incorporate that. So that way, if we do with public holidays and stuff, or if we students, whatever it is, we get pushed from the curriculum being taught, I can get them back on track as well. And I think it helps me keep track of where I need to be. Because it can be at times you feel like you'll be on fire with the class and the students on fire, so you want to spend more time on that. And then suddenly you're here, or you feel like the flip side, the students aren't getting it, so you need to spend more time with this. But then the timeline doesn't permit it. So just having that to focus on, I think, is handy as well. Behaviour, I think the main thing is your class expectations, you were saying. If you've got a behaviour, even a basic classroom behaviour policy, so, you know, this is what happens. I don't want calling out. If you do call out, name goes on the board. Even if you're doing something, you're doing crosses and this follow through. And even if you just demonstrate that in the first couple of lessons so the students see it. Because we've talked about it before. I mean, students are very perceptive and see what's going on. So once they see that, the routine, they hate it and they don't want to admit to it. But once they see the routine and the structure and the boundaries, it helps define the classroom better as well.
With the curriculum, as you say, I think familiarise yourself with the content. Understand what's the topic. Understand that inside that topic that there are certain things that we must expose the kids to and give them time to practice. So understand from a curriculum side of point of view is to know what the topic is and at least cover those areas. And to the point where the kids can, I do a version of teaching where I get them to teach me. If they can teach me, then they've got it. Even if they have to use their notes. So if I can get curriculum-wise to get to the point where the kids are so familiar with it, they can say it backwards.
Oh, nice. You know? Oh, I remember saying this, That, I mean, that shows a level of learning, doesn't it?
And if they can do that, then, as you say, the behaviour, well, behaviour issues shouldn't really arise, not unless it's come from the outside. So if it's brought into the class from something that's happened elsewhere.
Yeah.
But then the way that I have addressed that over the last 2 days, I just said, look, just be honest with me. Come into my room. When you come into my room and let's say something has happened at recess or lunchtime, come up to me and just simply be honest to me and say, sorry, sir, I'm not feeling the best. I've just had whatever. Don't have to go into extreme detail. Just say I'm not feeling. I may ask a couple of questions, but 99% of the time I'll just simply say to you, just either go and chill, go and grab yourself a drink, whatever else. I'd rather do that to the kid instead of the kid sitting in a room, getting told what to do, but having all these things happening.
Thrown and overwhelm themselves. Yeah. Wild card. My one wild card, which I've started doing more these days, is just having a Word document on my desktop for all my website usernames and passwords. I know you can save them to Google Chrome or whatever. I just don't do it. And then I have like all these bunch of usernames and passwords to free websites. Just do it. Something like that has made my life so much easier.
Oh, I'm happy that the phone or the computer can save your passwords.
Mm.
But then when you change it again, i.e. the department password
that that's getting funky these days.
I cracked it, that's getting real funky. On something, but hopefully it works.
Yeah, but you've said, I've heard that before, Miss Epia. You know, I think we'll come back to this in 4 weeks' time and see where we're at. The final talking point is the red flags to look out for that may mess up your momentum. So I think the big one we talked about is agreeing to take on too much.
Mm.
You know, and even if you're not a new staff, you can feel, and I've done it, been guilty of it. You hit the start of the year, you re-energize, you've had the long break. You're like, yep. Your teaching goodwill comes out. I'm going to take on all this stuff and I'm going to be the best person out there.
Yep.
But then hit the end of the term, you've taken on too much, you've crashed, and then it starts to affect your mentality.
Correct.
Which spirals down to affect your day-to-day teaching, which then affects the students. So just be wary of it. But saying that, I still find, and this is throughout my time teaching, there's a fine line between people delegating tasks to you and then the football term being handball received, getting rid of work. Yeah. And I think it can be hard to distinguish that from people. But I know we all get into teaching to do better by people, but look after yourself first.
Yes.
You know? Now, if you're up to it and you want to, like it's for me, it's still it was a learning experience. It's getting better now. But I went through years of taking on heaps at the start of the front of the year because I wanted to be, look at me, I'm doing everything.
Mm.
But then it hit you and it caught up with me and then it just affects your moods and stuff.
And it's not to make a person be wary of every single person who's saying, oh, do you want to or do you want, or can you do this or can you do that? It's not that at all. It's just picking your moments, picking your times. You don't have to say yes all the time.
Yes.
And as you say, if you feel like that's something that you want to be part of, hey, by all means, go ahead. But don't say yes to everything. Have a look at the impacts, the time impact. If anything, that's one thing that you cannot get back, and it's time. You can never rewind the clock.
That's the most important resource in teaching.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those things that if that time impacts both you, not just professionally, but also personally, then you got to rethink. That's a red flag for me. So protect your time.
Mm-hmm.
Check, like as I think I've told you or said before, when I'm at school, I do work at school. I leave work at school.
Yeah, that's done.
Yep.
Yep.
And in that way, your time with your family is your time with your family.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it does. It comes back full circle to say, just you've got the ability to say no.
Yeah.
And it may not seem like you feel like you're in a position that you have to do it, but you don't have to. You know, you look after yourself first. You're a professional.
Yep.
And then you build from there. I find meetings at times, unnecessary meetings. But I mean, especially now there's such a shortage going on with teaching, you just feel, and there's no, it's just everyone's being spread thin across the nation teaching wide. So any meetings that aren't of dire need, it's hard in my mind to justify at the moment. I think as you can, a lot of face, especially at a department level, a lot of face-to-face stuff is better than sitting around for half an hour. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, you've got to, for the start of the year, get yourself set up, get the momentum going, and then look beyond that or wide. I mean, play your part in the team, but then look from there. And that's where passions in teaching can come into as well. You want to do all this stuff, take on all these projects to do that, but there's every decision's got a consequence.
Correct. Both positive and negative.
Yeah.
And I look at what you're saying. Like, one thing I would say is another red flag for all the new stuff that's going out there is sometimes, the more experienced stuff will come along and help. But at the same time, sometimes it's best not to go out of your way to help, because sometimes you have to let the new staff or let new staff.
So it's making mistakes then, isn't it? To go on the, that's how I learned.
Yeah.
And you do, and you go too deep, and you're like, oh, this sucks. And then next time I'm not going to do this, even though I kept doing it. But, it gets to enough suffering. You're like, this needs to stop.
That's right. And you don't want to cotton wool them to the point where everything is too safe. Yeah. And it's the same thing we say for students. So even things with staff members is sometimes if there's a problem, instead of just hyper-focusing just on the problem, find a solution. Find a solution to the problem and try it. Instead of getting someone else to give you the solution, try it yourself first. We teach the kids to try and problem solve.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, as teachers or as adults, sometimes we seek help too early instead of giving ourselves the time to actually think or critically think through the process of how can I address this. So, don't be so quick to offer up and it's not making you cynical. It's not making you not help people. But sometimes not helping people actually helps them grow.
You can learn faster by doing that. Yeah, I'm a believer in that.
Mm.
May not be for everyone. It's tough to do as well because you're constantly picking yourself up.
Yeah.
But for me personally, that's where I learned the most.
Mm.
That's today's episode is just the first one back for the year and just a sort of insight into stuff we've done over the years, stuff that, we're wary of with us going into as experienced teachers. But to my final remarks would be to everyone out there listening as a teacher, good luck for the year, look after yourselves, and thank you for your commitment yourself.
Final remarks would just simply be have fun. Enjoy the parts where there is joy to be had. And when there's points, when you get your time to actually nose down, bum up, do the hard yards when you have to do the hard yards, but enjoy the parts where you get to have fun with the kids or with colleagues, because we're just so constantly head down too much that we don't bother to look up and see what's going on around us. Enjoy, have joy, have fun.
So on that note, like always, many thanks for listening and we look forward to the next episode.
Thank you.